haven't been on Daddy's show for a while, so we're going to do the bit before the theme music. I'm Robin.
I'm Juno.
This is the bit before the theme music. Run the theme music.
What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this?
Well, says me, my trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people. It's so good to have you here. It's nice to see you've made an effort. You're looking fantastic. Let's just get started with the interactive bit. Here it comes. All right. There we go. That was the interactive bit. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got involved, got amongst it, interacted, as it were. I don't think I've got any housekeeping that springs to mind. So I'm just going to get straight into the show. Are you ready? You better be, baby, because here it comes.
Do you hear what I hear?
So let's get started with Bob Baker. He's going to talk about what togs are. Take it away, Bob.
You know, I do try at times to say no to alcohol, but man, it just won't listen. So the first time I heard the UK term, Christmas togs, I couldn't help but smile. I didn't know what it meant, but it was such a fun word. You know, it sounds like a game where everyone is sitting around after a big holiday meal, all full and bloated with their pants unbuckled, and someone says, hey, how about a round of togs? You know, this sounds great, but it's wrong. And I thought it might be like a festive drink. It would be something you'd mix up for a Christmas party or on a cold night during the holiday season. It's where you'd call out to your wife and say, oh, honey, can you hand me a steaming bowl of the togs? It is freezing out. Again, this sounds ideal, but it is still wrong. Finally, I'm thinking it could be a slang term for the perfect gift. You know, you unwrap something that you either really like or you really wanted, and you exclaim, oh, mate, this is the togs. I know, it may seem so right, but still, so wrong. I mean, not to be a Ralphie Parker, but the actual definition is a lot like those big pink bunny pajamas. You know that present that you want to throw over your shoulder? It's clothes. Yes, your Christmas togs are what you will be wearing for the big day. Your Yuletide attire. Now in the US, we aren't so colorful. If you're a guy, you might say, hey, what are you wearing? I know, boring, right? A woman might call her holiday apparel her Christmas outfit, but that isn't as cool as togs. I'm just gonna have to find a way to drop it into conversation so it'll catch on here in the States. Oh, oops, I gotta go. I'm sorry, I just spilled on my togs. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, that is, because I don't really say togs much, get togged up. I don't really say it. You hear it, you know, people do use it. It's not a massive one, but it's interesting. I looked it up and it actually comes from an old English word, togman, which meant coat or cape, and that was derived from toga. So that's why we say togs. So we've all learned something today. I want to say a big thank you to Bob for a fantastic segment again. Great work, Bob. Now it's time for this. Hold on to your bits, boys and girls, because it's pants wetting time. Are you ready? I always ask if you're ready. I always ask, and I always make a big thing about the fact that I ask if you're ready, and I should make a bigger thing about the fact that I do not care if you're ready. The joke's coming. It's unstoppable. It's an unstoppable force. Here's the joke. Who is Santa's favourite singer? Elvis Presley. That's right. It was awful. Not a wet pair of pants in the house. I'm sorry, I feel like I let you down. In fact, I don't feel like I let you down. I let you down. Let's forget it ever happened and move on.
This is what we call a Muppet Christmas Show!
Well, it's been a long, long time since we've done one of these, isn't it, boys and girls? I can't even remember what the last one we did was. It might have been Mr. Willoughby's Christmas Tree. Do you remember that one with Robert Downey Jr.? It might have been that. I can't remember. It was so long ago, I've forgotten. But this episode, we're doing A Muppet's Christmas, Letters to Santa. If you haven't seen this one, I'm not going to be massively surprised, because I think it had been out a good... It came out in 2000. It came out in 2008, and I don't think I saw it until... I don't know, maybe 2012, something like, maybe about 10 years ago. It's because I bought it, I found it on DVD. I was just looking for Christmas stuff and I saw it and bought it. I don't think it was shown on TV in the UK. And if it was, well, I missed it, didn't I? That's obvious. Okay, so I'm going to go straight into it. This is really cool, right? The first scene is like, it's Letters to Santa, and it's like the opening credits, and they've got like letters coming down, like sort of animated letters, and it sort of says who the, you know, who's in it or who directed it and stuff like that. But the stamps in the corner of the letters were actually the official Muppets stamps that were released in 2005, like 3 years before this came out, which I thought was a really nice touch. I had to Google that and to double check, but yeah, they were actually sort of real stamps that were released on the US Postal Service. So yeah, we got that. So this is how it starts. It opens at the post office, right? And it's Christmas Eve, and all the Muppets are queuing up to post their letters. I'm not quite sure about this, because I'm from the UK. I don't know if it's different in the States, but it's Christmas Eve. If you're posting your stuff on Christmas Eve, is it going to get delivered on Christmas Day? You know, I can find out. I'll find out later on in the show. But I don't think so. I think if you're posting... And also, they're all holding their letters. They've all got stamps on. If you've got stamps, why are you going to the post office to post your letters? Can you just stick them in a postbox? Can't you do that? I'll ask that as well. I'll double check that later in the show. But I'm this, what I'm saying is a flaw in the story here. But anyway, the queue's like really massive, and Miss Piggy says like, "Oh, I should contact the mayor and get me to the front of the queue." And the bloke in front of him turns around, and it's Mayor Bloomberg, who was mayor at the time, which is really cool. And he's like, "Miss Piggy, I can't put you to the front of the queue." That was a nice touch. And I've got to say, as the first cameo, this was a pretty good cameo. They had a lot of decent cameos, but I like that one a lot. So they go into the post office, the queue starts moving, and they go in there, and it's the first song is a bit of a love letter to the US Postal Service. And they all go into the back room where everyone's sorting the mail, and they start helping, joining in while they're singing this song about delivering Christmas. It's not a great song, to be honest. I didn't care for it that much, but that's how it starts. And it's going really slow, and Miss Piggy's whinging because it's taking too long. So Gonzo pulls this lever to speed things up, and everything starts going really quick, and all the conveyor belts go quick, and Kermit's scarf gets caught on a conveyor belt, and he gets carried into some sort of sorting machine, and all the other Muppets jump on the conveyor belt to try and save him. So they all get sent through it, and it like clogs up the machine, and everything's going haywire, and they all end up like in this sorting basket at the end. And the bloke there, his name is Jesse L. Martin. I wasn't familiar with him. I sort of recognise his face, but he's one of the guys singing, and he's like one of the sorting office guys, and he sort of says, right, you know, and he carts them off, and they all, yeah, have to leave the post office. So then they go home, and they live in this apartment block, and they see their neighbour, who's Jane Krasinski. And Jane Krasinski, it's quite interesting, because she was in A Christmas Carol, the musical, which starred Kelsey Grammer. I haven't covered that one yet, actually. I should do that sometime. And that Jesse L. Martin I mentioned earlier, he was also in it. She played the Ghost of Christmas Past. I don't think Jesse L. Martin had a particularly big role, but he was definitely in A Christmas Carol, the musical. So when they're back at the apartment, we find out that they're all going away different places for Christmas, apart from their neighbour, Jane Krasinski, and her young daughter, whose name is Claire. And suddenly, Gonzo finds that he's got like three letters that have somehow found their way into his backpack from the shenanigans that went on at the sorting office. And he's like, oh no, I've got these three letters. They rush back to the post office. It's too late. It's already closed because it's early closing because it's Christmas Eve, which makes me think they won't be delivering Christmas Day. But we'll get back to that later in the episode. And so he's back and he's like, Kermit, what are we going to do? How are we going to deliver these letters? And that's pretty much what the whole episode is about. It's about trying to get these three letters to Santa. And they have a couple of attempts at the start. It's quite funny because the first one is Bunsen's there, and he's got his, let me just see, I've written it down, remember what it's called. It's called the Wish Granter 3000. And he puts it, it's like a helmet with like lights on it and that, and he puts it on Beaker's head, and Beaker makes a wish, and this beautiful model appears, and she's called, she's fairly famous, I'd never heard of her, but her name's Petra Nemikova, I hope I said that right. What's cool about her, right, she's like fawning all over Beaker, but she does the old me 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 me, just like Beaker does as well, and I thought that was really cool, that that's the way she talked. Then Bunsen's like, right, this is no good, you know, this isn't what you should be wishing for, so he's like, sort this out, Beaker. So Beaker makes another wish, and they both disappear, Beaker and his girlfriend, and so Bunsen is just stood there like, oh, okay, well, I can't help you then. So then they go and find a carrier pigeon. That's an interesting little scene, I won't go into it, it's no help. And then there's a scene where Pepe goes to see a couple of gangsters, and they're played by, well, you might know them if I recognised them, didn't know their names, won't lie to you, but they were both in The Sopranos, and they were played by Steve Sharippa and Tony Sirico. I hope I said that right, I probably didn't, but you'd recognise them if you saw them. And what's cool about those two is they were also in, I think it was either the year before or 2 years before, Elmo's Christmas Countdown. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. It's where there's this countdown of all these blocks, and Elmo's got to find all these blocks for one of Santa's elves, and there's lots of different scenes on it, and one of them is those two guys who I just mentioned. I'm not going to try and say their names again, playing Bert and Ernie. If you've never seen that, it's nice. It's for younger kids, but it's also got some funny bits that you'd enjoy as well. So check it out, Elmo's Christmas Countdown. I'll probably be covering that at a later date, but the rate I'm going with the Muppet stuff, you could be waiting a couple of years. Oh, so the Mafia guys, they're not going to help because Pepe turns up, but then Rizzo's turns up with him, and they're like, hey, we ain't talking to no rats, and they have to leave. So then Gonzo decides that he's going to fly to the North Pole, and while this is all going on and they're trying to help get these letters delivered, Miss Piggy's getting really upset because she wants to go away on her holiday. She's booked this holiday for her and Kermit, and she's furious that they're not like getting packed up to go. And when they decide that they're going to go to the North Pole to deliver the letters to Santa, it's quite a funny line actually. She's like, well, I'm going on holiday, and someone goes, wild boar coming through, which I found quite funny. So all the other Muppets, they leave, they're going off on their Christmas holidays, wherever they're heading to, all the different places. So all we're left with are Gonzo, Kermit, Fozzie, and then Pepe and Rizzo, which is interesting because Pepe and Rizzo don't believe in Santa Claus. They're not having any of it. But they're like, oh, well, you know, if you guys are going, we'll stick with you. Which is a sign of good friendship, I think. Even if you don't believe in what your friend believes in, you're standing by them anyway. So good work, Pepe and Rizzo. Well done there, boys. There's a nice unicorn joke there as well, actually, when they talk about flying there. Let me play it to you. Here you go.
And, well, you know, we would love to go to the North Pole and see the Santa Claus, but...
But our flying unicorns are in the shop.
It's very funny.
Right.
The flying unicorn in the
very
shop.
Sensitive.
Could be because the unicorn's not real.
Yeah, but they don't go to shops either.
So, next scene is a completely throwaway one. I don't know why they even bothered with it, apart from just to have the cameo of Whoopi Goldberg. She's the taxi driver, and she's driving them to the airport. Then they get to the airport, and they're looking for an airline that will take him to the North Pole, and there's one airline called North Pole Airlines, and the girl that works at the counter is Uma Thurman, and I've got to say, she is looking smoking in this, and I'm not the only one that thinks that, because Pepe is completely smitten by her, and it's quite funny the way he's sort of like fawning over her doing this. I like that bit, that was good. It's she does a great job as well. She's really enthusiastic, you can tell she's really loving the role, working with the Muppets there. She books them on the last flight just before they're going through security. There's actually quite a mildly humorous joke with Pepe. Let me play that one for you as well. Here it comes.
Hey, listen, Pepe, it says all your electronic devices must go in the bin.
All of them?
All of them.
Yeah, okay, Blackberry.
Hmm? Check.
Blueberry.
Check.
Raspberry.
Mm-hmm.
Halleberry.
Ooh, nice.
But then they have to go through security, and then when they go through security, Fozzie makes a joke, and they all get pounced on saying there's no making jokes in security, and they all get taken into this back room, and this is when we see Nathan Lane. Now, Nathan Lane, he's been in a few Muppets things, actually. He's there with Bobo the Bear, and I've always found this interesting, right? You know, you've got Bobo the Bear and Fozzie Bear, and when you see them together, it's like, yeah, it's hard to believe you're both meant to be bears. But you can tell they're both bears, can't you? It's interesting. Anyway, they like give him this big interrogation, and then we find out that Nathan Lane hates Christmas, and the reason he hates Christmas is because he was put on the naughty list. and he decides to let the guys go anyway. And he's like, go on, you go and deliver those letters to Santa. And it's too late. The gate is closed, but who should be there but Uma Thurman again, playing Joy. And she's like, well, the gate's closed, guys, but maybe I can help and I can get you on that plane. And it cuts to all of them hanging on to one of the wings, yeah, screaming as they're flying to the North Pole in the freezing cold as well. And it's going to be cold even if you're not at the North Pole. So imagine how cold it will be when they're flying over the North Pole. There's another funny joke then, actually. I really like this bit. I'll play this for you while they're holding on for dear life.
I don't know if I can hold on any longer.
I don't know if I can scream any longer.
And then they all decide to drop off. They drop off and they fall directly at the North Pole. And it's the good old barber's pole, you know, you see at the North Pole. There's lots of trees there as well, which you wouldn't get at the North Pole. But, you know, they've done what they've done with it. At this point, you get the feeling that they scrimped on the sets a little bit. There's not a massive amount of sets, particularly because they're right at the North Pole and they see Santa's house. They walk up to his house. They don't even get to go in. One of the elves opens the door and like is talking to him. But no, there's no coming in. You're not going in, boys, because that would cost too much money to do another set inside Santa's house. There's a few other bits where you sort of think, yeah, this you could have tried a little bit harder with the background stuff, but I'm not going to pick fault right now. So, like I said, they get to Santa's house and one of the elves answers the door. Who should that elf be? Are you ready? Paul Williams. And a lot of you, including me up until I did the research on this, would be scratching your head going, who's Paul Williams? I'll tell you who Paul Williams is. Paul Williams is the man who wrote the songs for this Christmas special, but also all the songs for A Muppet's Christmas Carol. That's right, I'm not kidding. Now, the songs in this one, most of them, not that great. The songs in A Christmas Carol, they are fantastic. I don't care if you like that film or not, those songs are blinding. There's even the ones that didn't actually make it into the film are blinding. He's done a wonderful job, and he's written loads of songs. I could go through the whole list. He's not just written songs for movies, he's written songs for The Carpenters. Rainy days and Mondays always bring me down. That's just one of many. I'm not going to list them all. I can't be bothered. Also, while I'm here, he's done a load of acting and he played an elf once before in a film called The Night They Saved Christmas, which is awful. Yeah, I watched it again a couple of years ago and it was rubbish. But, you know, it's there nonetheless. So he's there and he said, no, Santa's not here. You're too late. He's already gone. And he's he sort of says goodbye. And this is what he says, which I found quite funny. Here you go.
But Merry Christmas to one and to all, and a good night for, you know, you hear it every year, you know how it goes, same old.
And then they leave, that's it, he's closed the door on them, and they've got to go. And Gonzo is upset, he's very upset. And this is when he sings the best song in the whole show, and it's a really nice one, actually, I like it a lot. I'll play it for you, it's nice.
I wish we could be Santa Claus, perhaps we can. The job's about the giving, not the suit and not the man. It's all about the caring and the part that we can play
in spreading joy
and peace on earth and love on Christmas Day.
There's some really nice lines in that as well. I like it a lot. That's one I think I'd add to my playlist if I could be bothered. That's the highlight of this show for me, that song is. And the song is so good, but who should turn up? Santa Claus. That's right, Santa Claus turns up, yeah. And Santa Claus is played by Richard Griffiths. Now, Richard Griffiths, sadly, he passed away in 2013, but he's probably most famous these days for playing Vernon Dursley in the Harry Potter films. That's right, he was Uncle Vernon, you know, great big guy. So he's like, right, hop on, guys. We can deliver these letters or we can sort them out. And so the three letters. Oh, sorry. And I should have said, at this point, who should be on the back of his sleigh? Are you ready? It's Uma Thurman again. No idea what she's doing there, but it's always nice to see her. And Pepe is very happy to see her. So Santa's like, right, let's open these letters. The first one turns out it's actually from Pepe, who said he didn't believe in Santa Claus, and he's making jokes about the fact that everyone else believes in him. He believes in Santa Claus, and he wants to be a fantastic opera singer, and he does do a bit of opera. I'll play it for you.
Santa, I cannot sing.
Oh, can? Shall we look at this letter?
So there's that. Then the second letter is actually from Nathan Lane's character, Officer Meany. And do you remember the security guard at the airport? And he always wanted a red tricycle. And there's a cutaway, and we see him with Bobo with this lovely red tricycle with a little bell that goes ding ding.
I'll be a good boy from now on, I swear. What did I tell you?
Ding ding ding.
Ding ding ding.
Ding ding ding.
Ding ding ding.
Ding ding ding. Ding ding ding.
Don't start that again.
Okay.
There you go. Ding ding. And then the third letter is from Claire, their neighbour, Jane Krasinski's daughter, and all she wanted for Christmas was for her friends to be there. So that's what they do. They all fly back home, and when they get back, it turns out all the Muppets decided not to go away because they want to spend Christmas together, and everyone spends Christmas at Jane Krasinski's house, which she's not that happy about, but Claire is very happy about, so that's nice. And so as all the Muppets are coming in to Jane's house, and she's welcoming them in, and everyone's greeting her and that and saying hi, Rolf speaks. He says, "Let's trim the tree." I think that's pretty much his only line. And that's the first time that the character of Rolf spoke in any Muppet stuff since Jim Henson had passed away. So that was quite poignant, that bit, I thought. Yeah. And that's how it ends. Everyone's singing and they're all happy to be together, spending Christmas together. So the director was a gentleman by the name of Kirk R. Thatcher, and he's done a lot of work with the Muppets. He helped write this, and he's also directed A Very Merry Muppet Christmas Movie. I don't know if you've seen that one, but it's great. It's like a Muppets take on It's a Wonderful Life, The Muppets Wizard of Oz, and just last year he also directed The Muppets Haunted Mansion. So he's done loads of stuff with the Muppets and done a lot of writing as well as directing. And early on in his career, he was the assistant to Leonard Nimoy when Leonard Nimoy was directing Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Now, there's a very famous scene in that film, and it's the one that always stuck in my head. And as soon as I sort of read about it, I was like, I remember that scene. And it's a bit where they're on a bus, and there's this punk guy playing this really nasty song. It's like, I hate you, and I berate you. And he's there, listening to this, really loud, and Captain Kirk is like, oh, could you turn it down a little? Because this bit of the film is set in modern day. Well, I say modern day, back in the 80s. And Captain Kirk is like, oh, could you turn it down, please? So he turns it up. So Leonard Nimoy leans across and gives him the old Vulcan neck pinch. And he passes out on his boombox and turns the sound off. And everyone on the bus claps and cheers. Well, that was Kirk R. Thatcher. He played that role. Now, this is interesting because he played the same role in Picard not so long ago, like in the last couple of years, on a bus. And I saw the clip. I don't know who the lady is. I haven't been watching Picard. I'm not a massive Star Trek fan. And he's there playing the same song at the back of the bus, and this lady's like, could you turn that down, please? And he sort of rubs his neck as he looks at her, and it's like he's remembering getting the neck pinch, and he turns it down. He's like, I'm really sorry, I just really like that song. So he's like the same guy playing the same role, nearly 40 years later. And then also, he was doing the same sort of role in Spider-Man Homecoming, you know, the first of the ones starring Tom Holland, and he's just a guy in the street holding this boombox on his shoulder. I think he's not playing the same song, but he's like the same sort of character. So there you go, three times playing the same guy. Who would have known it? Not Christmas related, but there you go. I thought I'd point that out to you. So as an overview, this isn't the strongest Muppets Christmas special, but the more I've watched it, the more I've liked it. I've got more out of it every time, and I do actually like it, particularly that song, you know, the one about I wish I could be Santa Claus. But yeah, it is actually a nice film. What lets it down is because the sets are a bit low rent, particularly, like, another bit was when Richard Griffiths turns up, and they're like, oh my goodness, there's Santa Claus. And he's only about, like, what, 5 metres away from where they were in the first place. They're like, oh, he's there. You would have been able to see. He's only 5 metres away. It's like, don't, like, oh, Santa's suddenly turned up. But the sleigh doesn't move. You know, they sort of all go up and stand up the sleigh. And it's like, well, that's just part of the set. You know, that's sort of how it feels. It makes it seem a little bit cheaper. But there was a lot of jokes in there that I found funny. And the more I've watched it, the more I've sort of picked up what people are saying in the background. I think if you haven't seen it, definitely go out and give it a shot. It's on Disney Plus. If you've got Disney Plus, the perfect place to watch it. Or you could probably pick up the DVD for a couple of quid on eBay. So yeah, it's a nice one to have on your shelf. It's not one I watch every year, but it is one I watch every 2 or 3 years. Yeah. So that's a Muppets Letters to Santa. Give it a shot. Well, boys and girls, let me tell you, last episode we started the new segment, well, this one, you just heard the jingle, that's the first time we've had that jingle, Wonderful Christmas Time, and this was suggested by Bob Baker, and he started it off. I sent him a couple of ideas, but he's straight in with the second segment. He'd already sent it in before I'd even played the first one. He was getting that into it. I've actually had quite a few people emailing us with suggestions. Now, you have to wait till the next episode to hear the suggestions from our listeners. But I just want to say thank you to everyone has. Also, I want to say thank you to Bob Baker for coming up with this segment, because I really love it when people get involved. But everyone else as well, thank you so much for sending in your stuff. We'll be playing some of them next episode, and we'll be playing more in the lead up to Christmas. So without further ado, let's get on with this episode's segment. Take it away, Bob.
If you aren't interested in crawling in the US, like we discussed last episode, you may want to try running. Santa 5Ks are another festive activity that have grown in popularity throughout the states. These are Christmas-themed runs where the racers dress up. Just like the pub crawls, you will see a variety of different outfits, but most will wear the swag that gets handed out to the runners. Santa hats and beards, reindeer antlers, or blinking red noses. Some locations will also modify the event to reflect their community, so they may run in Santa hats and Speedos in a beach town, or with ugly sweaters in snowy areas. They may serve cookies, or chili, or hot chocolate. They may host a food or a toy drive, or you can run with your kids or your pets. And given the party-like atmosphere, a lot of onlookers will just turn out to watch. Or, if you want a less active option overseas, but you still want participation and the same level of fun and creativity, check out the immersive experiences in England. Venues are transformed into unique holiday extravaganzas, all filled with performers, artists, music, and food and drink. The audience becomes an interactive part of the production. Guests are invited to celebrate in very different, eclectic atmospheres, such as on board a vintage train that is set for the North Pole, or attending a Christmas soiree at Downton Abbey, or returning back to the glitz and the glamour of 1920. Trust me, either of these will make sure your mood is right and your spirits up. So come back in 2 weeks to learn more stuff.
There we go. Thank you for that, Bob. If you've got something you want to talk about, something that might be going on near you, or even if it's just something that you do in your own family and you want to share it with people, send it in. Please send it in, because we'd love to hear it and we'd love to share it in the build up to Christmas. We're in what we call the burr months now, you know, September. This is the home stretch. It's a sprint now to Christmas, and Christmas is going to be here before you know it. You know, this is our second episode in September. Next episode I do is going to be October, and it's only going to be 3 or 4 more episodes till it's Christmas. So please send in your stuff. We'd all love to hear it. I know that. So send it in. Do it. Do it now. Or don't do it right now. Wait till the end of the episode. And actually do it while you're listening to the episode. I'm easy. Pause the episode. Do something. I love you. Carry on. Boys and girls, I don't know if you remember. I should hope you do. Last year, I spoke to Jerry Davila from Totally Rad Christmas, because he works in one of the biggest Christmas stores in the world. He told me some stories about the things that have gone on at his store. And it was a really great chat, and he had some lovely stories, and it was quite an uplifting interview, and I really enjoyed it. And it was nice to hear Jerry talking about his life and his job, rather than just talking about Christmas specials from the 80s. And this year, I thought about Todd Killian from the Christmas Clatter podcast, because he, would you believe, is a mail carrier. And so now I've got an interview with Todd where we talk about what it's like being a mail carrier at Christmas. So here's the interview. Right. So boys and girls, I have now the host of the Christmas Clatter podcast. And some of you may not know this, but Todd Killian, I should have said that first. His name is Todd Killian. He is a
Right, I've got to get this right, because you just said letter carrier or mail carrier. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Letter carrier is what we call ourselves, but we'll go by mail carrier as well. So.
Right, so just before we started the interview, I just was asking Todd about this. Just to clarify, the term postman, is that was it ever used in the States, or was that?
If it was, it was well before my time, and it's long since disappeared.
You've never heard anyone called a postman?
I have, but not like in real life. You know, I've heard it on TV or something like that. But growing up, it was always mailman.
Mailman. Oh, that's true. Yeah, you guys say mailman, don't you?
Then you start seeing more ladies getting involved in the career. So then it became letter carrier or mail carrier, or they kind of took the gender role out of it, which is perfectly fine.
When it was always mailman, of course it was. Now you say it, of course it is.
Yeah.
So we still say postman, but nearly all my life as a kid, we had a post lady. Did we call her post lady, post woman, postie? I don't know what we called her, actually. That's funny. She was our post lady until I was in my 20s. So it would have been a good 20 years. The reason I have Todd on today is because he's going to share some stories about what it's like being a mail carrier, not mailman, at Christmas, because of course this is a Christmas podcast. First thing I'm going to ask, because that's the kind of person I am, tell us about the tips. Is it, do you like really rake it in at Christmas and this year, or like more recently, have you had to get like a credit card machine so people can pay their Christmas tip by contactless?
Well, that would be wonderful. Actually, this Christmas is my first Christmas on the route I run now. At the Postal Service, as you bump up in seniority and as routes come open, you get to pick them. And so I've been doing it 17 years now. So I'm getting into nicer and nicer neighborhoods as my seniority increases. So this is my first real Christmas in like a real nice neighborhood. So I'm really hoping I'm going to have to get my square on my phone and I'll just walk up to everybody's house and knock on the door and tell them that it's Christmas and things. But
do you actually do that? You actually say it's Christmas? Where's my tip?
No, I don't. Oh. But I've had plenty of people tip all kinds of things, from gift cards to Domino's Pizza to just cash. One lady once brought out this big, looked like a great big coffee can, but it was of Virginia salted peanuts. And I'm not a big peanut fan. I mean, I'll eat a few peanuts here and there. And I was like, oh, all right. So I got them home, and it's like, as soon as I cracked that jar, it's like it felt like 5 minutes for all the air to rush in. They were some of the best peanuts I've ever had in my life.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, they were real good. But I tell you what, the most touching gift I ever got as a letter carrier, there was this elderly lady that was kind of early stages of Alzheimer's or dementia. And I pulled up to deliver her mail, and it was, I think it was on Christmas Eve. It was either 23rd or 24th of December. I can't remember which. And she remembered it was Christmas. So she runs in the house and she comes out and she has a box of Valentine's candy, I guess, hopefully from that year's Valentine's.
Hopefully.
It wasn't open. And she handed that to me for Christmas. And just the look on her face was just the gift, because she was just so excited to give me something for Christmas. It was just, you could just tell it was just so heartfelt, the joy she had on her face to be able to give me that. And I took them being a candy lover, I popped them open and they were just fine. So.
They're fine. That's good. That's good.
But yeah, there's people that tip. I've even gotten socks before.
Is that right? Yeah. Did they fit? Were they the right size? Were they warm? Time of year, you want thick socks.
I live in the southeast corner of Missouri, which is, I always say, we're too far north for a mild winter, and we're too far south for a mild summer. So we get major swings in our weather. And so in the wintertime, it gets really cold. And
is it snow? Are you out in the snow?
Yes, we can be. I've been out in knee deep snow before, trying to get around delivering people's mail.
I've never seen knee deep snow. Not in not where I live in the UK.
Yeah, we get a lot of ice. Things will just get glazed in ice. It's just banana sometimes. And
what are you wrapped up in then? When it's really cold, what are you wearing? Like, what sort of layers? What's the secret to keep yourself warm?
Well,
is it just moving really quickly?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. This is gonna shock you. If it's gonna get cold, I actually want it to be below 20 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm not sure what that is in Celsius, because once it gets below 20 degrees Fahrenheit, it feels like it's easier to maintain because it's so cold. The air is drier. And if you get a day that's like 16 degrees and sunny, yeah, it's cold, but it's more manageable than that 30 to 20 degree Fahrenheit. But usually I wear like the old Cousin Eddie type hat with the ear things that pull around.
And yeah, I know.
About kind of like Sinbad in
Jingle All the Way, where he's a mail carrier.
Yeah, that kind of hat.
Mailman.
And usually I have about a couple shirts on, and then a sweatshirt or a hoodie, and then a thick jacket, and then, you know, a couple layers on my legs and some nice socks. And they make those toe warmers that you like shake, you break and shake, and then you stick them in your shoes.
Yeah, I know.
They stay warm for a few hours and that kind of thing.
What about your hands then? Can you wear gloves? Do you need to be able to get your, because getting between those letters can't be that easy in thick gloves.
I tried to wear gloves, but it's too hard to sort the letters. It's too hard to get in between them. So usually I just go no gloves. I've tried the fingerless gloves where you kind of, and those seem to actually seem to make things worse for me. So I just go no gloves. And if you keep your hands moving, they seem to do okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the trick, I just thought the trick is a nice scarf around your neck. You get that scarf around your neck.
Aye.
For some reason, that just keeps you good.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times when it's real cold, I'll come home and I'll get my uniform off. And of course we have the house is, you know, heated nicely. I'll be getting those layers off and I'll start getting goosebumps and start freezing, you know, because I stay so warm,
aye.
You know, in there, but you just gotta prepare and, you know, make sure that, you know, frostbite or things like that aren't sitting in, but.
So it's Christmas. Uh-huh. You've got all those Christmas cards,
yep.
Christmas parcels. How much busier? What would you say the percentage increase is, say, in December compared to, say, the middle of summer?
Well, when I first started, it was a lot more. It was almost, I would say, like 75% more. Now with Amazon and with, there's been some, like, craziness around the world. I'm not sure if you're aware of it the past few years. That's kind of changed a lot of things. But it seems like from Christmas 2019 to now that every month has been busier than the month before,
because
people just ordering and people staying home and people working from home, which is fine. But there is still a big jump at Christmas time. And unfortunately, Christmas cards volume has gone way down.
Oh.
It still increases, but it's not like it was. People just don't send them the cards like they used to.
But do you?
Oh, yeah. We still send cards and fill them out and send them.
I don't send many because my wife sends a few. Me and my mates, we never did, but I don't know if it's a generational thing. It's not like I've stopped doing it over the years. I just never did it anyway. You know, so I've got about a dozen people. Actually, since doing the podcast, I send Christmas cards out to listeners if they sort of send me a story or something. Yeah. But myself, I've never really sort of sent out a lot. Again, maybe a dozen people around the country. Yeah. But if it's people I see, I tend not to.
I think it is a generational thing, because it used to be the letter was kind of like the equivalent of the text message.
You know, right.
Where you send somebody a letter or a card, you know, on their birthday or anniversary or just because, and now we just grab our phone and it's like, hey, Jack, Merry Christmas, you know, or that kind of thing. And instead of sending it, but we try to send them because there's just something about that type of, you know, just getting a card in the mail.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. I love getting cards. It's I love getting anything from the mail. It's rare you get a letter these days from the mail. And it's nice. Occasionally the girls will get one from a listener or something. Or occasionally I'll get something as well from a listener. And I really, really do appreciate it. It's so nice. It must be nice for you as well. You know, you delivering joy, as it were. Before we move on, I just want to quickly, earlier in this episode, I've done a segment on Muppets Letters to Santa. And there's a couple of things I wanted to ask you about that. First one, you don't deliver on Christmas Day, I'm taking it.
No. However, our local branch will take any volunteers that want to work on Christmas Day, because we have some people that either the kids are older or they're not doing anything on Christmas Day. They're going to do it, you know, they either have done it before or after because of family situations. Those guys will volunteer just to deliver any parcels on Christmas Day in case there's something Santa forgot or something like that, you know, and that way it all gets out and hopefully save somebody's Christmas that way.
Oh, wow. So you actually, so some guys actually do deliver on Christmas Day.
Yeah. And it's just a volunteer thing. And it's just the parcels. It's not any letters or anything like that.
Have you seen the Muppets Letters to Santa?
If I have, it's been a while.
You should watch it because it's the start of it. It's like a love letter to the USPS. There's a big song in a post office in the sorting office.
Yeah, I'll need to check it out. Sometimes I've seen some of that stuff. It's like, oh, I'll say I don't see it. And then as soon as I turn it on, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember this.
I know. Yeah. No, because the start of it, they're actually queuing to send letters on Christmas Eve. And I thought that was a bit of a flaw in the plot. Do you know, there was something else I wanted to ask and I've bloody forgotten what it was. Let me just see if I've written it down. I haven't. I've let everyone down. So share with us a couple of stories about what it's like being a postman at Christmas, a mailman, a mail carrier. There we go. See, I'm good at this.
Well, you know, speaking of letters to Santa, I do get those on my routes. Over the years, I've gotten, you know, I don't know, probably 30 or 40, you know, letters to Santa over the years.
Sorry, just to clarify this one, this is something I'm not 100% sure about. People have got those post boxes outside their house.
Uh-huh.
If you put a letter in there,
right?
Like I did, if I was in my own post box, do you guys collect it and take it on? Is that what happens?
Yes. Yeah.
So you don't have to, I wouldn't have to take it to a post box. No. I could just stick it in my.
Right. Right. We do have those general collection boxes around, but you can just clip it to the side of your mailbox and your carrier or grab it on their way by, you know, so.
So you collect as well as, as well as deliver on your route.
Yeah.
So say you didn't have any mail for someone, would you still go up and check their box to see if they had anything to go out or not?
Yeah. Yeah. I still check. There's
with the flag. Is it the little flag goes
up? Yeah. They stick the flag up. That way you know if they have something in there or not.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's not something we have in the UK. Okay. So when you're saying, so these letters to Santa that people, they've put them in their box for you to take to Santa. And did you take them hand delivered to the North Pole? How did you do this?
I absolutely did. You know, there's actually a place you're supposed to send them, but a lot of times they just kind of get sent and forgotten about, unfortunately, because of the size of the postal service. So I make sure I hand deliver them to Santa. And, you know, within a few days, those kids get a handwritten from Santa.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that the real Santa that I'm talking to now? Good for you, Todd. That's nice.
So
let's go in the extra mile.
Yeah, it's just fun. I just thought about it. First time I grabbed a letter from Santa for Santa, I thought, you know, this is too much fun. I've always been a Christmas lover, and so I just you know, wrote it up and put it in the box. And then a few weeks later, the parents stopped me and they're like, they asked me about it, and I said, they asked if it was something that the post office did, and I said, no, it's just something I did. And they just thought their kids just got the kick out of it. So what I ended up doing is, like, the next day I brought those letters back in a different envelope for the parents. So that's what I would do is I'd get, like, those plain brown envelopes that look like, you know, real generic. So, you know, the kids on my route will send a letter to Santa. They'll get a response back from him in a couple of days. I don't do it the next day. I wait a couple, make sure it's more timely. And then a couple of days after that, then the parents get those letters back, you know, so.
That is fantastic.
That way they can keep them, you know, if they want.
I hope these parents are giving you a proper tip.
Yeah.
Is that's going the extra mile, that is.
Parents have been very kind to me over the years, but, you know, a lot of kids just drop them in those general collection boxes. So I'll never see them. So, you know, I can't do it for all them, but for the ones that, you know, stick it out on the route for me to grab, I do what I can for them.
How many a year of those would you do?
Oh, I probably only get three or four, maybe.
That's good. To be honest, you don't want too many, do you? You don't want to get home and have a sore arm writing out all these letters. You
know, if word got around, it could easily be a full-time job.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, but the like our hometown has an old mail collection box that they that they painted up Christmas colors, and it's specifically for letters to Santa that they put out every year. And I think it goes to a local charity or something along that lines. I'm not sure what they do with those letters, but yeah. So, you know, some of them go that direction, or some of them get thrown in the general collection box. So that's always a lot of fun to do that.
And, yeah. And good work.
Parents out, you know, there's been several times, you know, that a Christmas gift would arrive and then they're not in the plain brown box. They're actually in the actual box you would buy in the store, with just with the label
right.
You know, thrown on it. And so, you know, the kids are home from school for the holidays, and I'm sitting there, you know, with this box in the back of the truck thinking, I can't just leave this on the doorstep.
No.
You know, and things. So a lot of times I'll go knock on the door and then tell the parents I have a box in the truck that they need help me help me with, so they can. And they usually get the hint pretty quick.
Get the idea.
Remember one time it was an Xbox, and I forget which model, Xbox One or something. They were all the rage, and it's like the people weren't home at all. No one was home, and it was just the Xbox box. It was on a busy road, and I'm like, I'm not leaving this here.
No.
On the porch for everybody to see. So I left a note in the mailbox with my cell phone number and saying, this is your mailman. Call me so I can re-deliver your Amazon order, just real generic, you know.
Sure.
And a few hours later, they called me, and I told them, and I swung back around so they could grab it. I've done that a few times before. There's American Girl dolls. There's like these 24-inch dolls that are real popular, and they're.
I am familiar. I have heard of these. Yeah, on another podcast. I don't think it was a Christmas one. This is one where you can buy the same clothes for yourself as your dolls got.
Yeah, you can do that, and they have all kinds of accessories. And the dolls usually are like anywhere from like $120 to $180. They're real expensive. Wow. You know, and they come in a box, and it says American Girl doll right on the side in big letters, and it's like nobody's home. I'm not just leaving this here, you know. And unfortunately, you know, the porch piracy is becoming a bigger and bigger thing. And so I try to handle that the best I can. I have certain customers that order a lot. I've talked with them. They let me sneak around to the back of their house and drop their stuff off.
Kind
of stuff, just to kind of go do that little extra, just to give them the service that they want, and make it a little easier on them without having to worry about, you know, all that.
So what else do you want to share with us about working at Christmas as a mail carrier?
Well, the funny thing with postal services, I have a lot of coworkers, but I only see them for a few hours a day. It's not like other jobs where you go and you're like elbow to elbow with people 40, 50 hours a week. You know, I see them for a few hours in the morning as we get our routes ready. Then we take off and do our own thing. And then we see them maybe 15, 20 minutes at the end of the day, if they come in about the same time as us, because everybody gets back at different times. But somehow there's always this like special camaraderie around the holidays where you're just putting in extra hours, you know, and everybody's doing it, and you just going through that kind of grind. But it's the little things, you know, with helping people. There was one year we did a Christmas parade of lights where we decorated one of our mail trucks and, you know, made it look like boxes were falling out of the back. And that was a lot of fun. But, you know, just like I've been talking about, just helping people pull off their Christmas, and that actually happens through the year too, different things. I've had other customers that were elderly and fighting dementia, where I, you know, end up getting her son's name on my cell phone because, you know, she would want to try to take off and drive, and I would have no idea where she was going, and she's asking me for directions, and it's like, you don't need to be driving, you know. And I'll never forget probably the most touching story I've ever had carrying mail was right around Christmas time, and there was this elderly lady that lived by herself, and the way I would carry, we call them loops when we deliver a street. The way I delivered this loop was I would walk down one street to the end, cross over, and walk back the other way delivering. And she was on the second half of the street, so she would always see me coming, so she knew I was getting ready to come back by her house. So she'd be out there on the porch and waiting for me and wanting to talk. And there for a while, it was like, I'm thinking, I need to hurry. I need to go. And then one day, I guess it was two weeks or so before Christmas, and it was pretty mild that year. She was stopping to talk, and we said something small talk about the holidays. And she started tearing up. And she goes, you know, sometimes you're the only person I talk to all day long. And I was just like, oh my gosh, my heart just sunk, you know? And so just, you know, that was just a constant reminder and still is just to make time for people, you know, whether it's the holidays or not, because you just never know when you're the only person that person is going to talk to all day. You know, that was probably the most, it's not Christmas specific other than the time frame, but it just was a constant reminder of, you know, everybody has their struggles and to just kind of go that extra mile to do the little things that make people's lives way better than you'll ever know.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for that, Todd. I really have enjoyed talking to you about what it's like being a mail carrier at Christmas. Keep up the good work. And I hope all the listeners remember to tip your mail carrier this year. I always tip my postie, actually. One of the reasons we've always given him a tip, but one year, or it wasn't Christmas, but he just started all the stuff that was signed for, he signed for it himself.
Yeah.
And which he probably wasn't allowed to do, and then post it, you know, but it saved me having to go down to the depot to pick it up. I don't know how it works in the States, but in the UK, if something's signed for, you know, they won't deliver the next day, you've got to go to the depot to pick it up. So he'd signed for it for us. And it just saved me so much effort. So I give him a big tip every year. And he always gets a big tub of celebrations. Do you have celebrations over there by Mars? No? Is that not what you call big in the UK, we have big tubs of Quality Street roses, celebrations and heroes. Celebrations is they're by Mars, and it's all like mini, it's like a chocolate you'd get in a chocolate box size of like a Mars bar or a Snickers. Okay. Or
we call those fun sizes around here.
Yeah, but they're smaller than that. They're really small. Miniatures. Like the size of the end of your thumb sort of thing.
Yeah, those are called miniatures. We do have
miniatures. That's the ones, miniatures. Yeah. So, but you get a big Christmas tub of them. He always gets one of those as well. So remember to tip your mail carrier. While you're here, Todd, did you want to tell everyone about Christmas Clatter?
Yeah, Christmas Clatter is a podcast and a YouTube channel. The podcast is available wherever you listen to your podcast. And then check us out on... just go to youtube.com and search Christmas Clatter. We'll pull up. What we do is we do a live recording of each episode on YouTube. It's Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you just get to watch me record the episode live. If I have a guest, I'll record it. And for those in the live audience, once the recording of the podcast is over, we stay on and we have a special Q&A with our guests, or I'll do a special unboxing of some ornaments or some things I've gotten, or just something different that's not available on the podcast for those that have taken the time to join me for the live stream. And we also have other, what I call more traditional YouTube videos. I have some in the works that I'm doing about certain Christmas movies and their qualifications as being a Christmas movie and some other wonderful things. And so just stay tuned. That's Christmas Clatter. You just go to ChristmasClatter.com. That will take you any direction you want to go on social medias or anything else. So,
yeah, do you know, I've been listening since your podcast started, actually, and I can't remember how I found out about it, because I think you started – actually, no, that's not true. I started listening the Christmas after – because you started in May, was it?
I started in May of 2019.
Yeah, and I started listening in December. I, like, binged all the episodes. And I've recommended your Todd's podcast before. I played one of your stories, because you do your – what do you call them again?
Christmas memories. Yeah.
Yes. That's always my favorite part of the show.
Well, I'm going to give your listeners a little tease here, Jack. One of my most popular Christmas memories is there's a chance that next year for Christmas, it may be a children's book. So stay tuned for that.
If I
could also plug this year, I have a Christmas planner available on Amazon. If anybody's into, working through a planner for Christmas, and it's also a journal to get their holidays organized. And you can find that at christmasclatter.live/planner. It's like $9 US on Amazon. So it's pretty neat, and a lot of people have enjoyed it. So
yeah, there you go, kids. Now's the time to get one as well. We're getting closer. We're on the sprint now coming into Christmas. So yeah, cool. Massive thank you, Todd. Everyone, check out his podcast. It is fantastic. I've been listening since the start. It's about 6 months after you started. I feel guilty about that, but not that guilty.
No, I didn't have that many. I was only monthly episodes then. So
was it only monthly back then?
Yeah, I don't only remember monthly, that. So you
funny.
I remember
listening to like two or three of your episodes. I had a long drive. I'd been working. Uh-huh. I had a job about a 2-hour drive away, and I listened to like three or four episodes, and I loved it. It was because Todd's got such a relaxing voice, as I'm sure you've just heard. His podcast is the sort of thing you want to listen to at Christmas. Yeah. Great work, Todd. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Todd's going to be turning up again in the next couple of episodes. But for right now, thank you so much, Todd, and we'll speak to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Right. Stop whatever you're doing because it's time for the quiz. Okay. It's the most important part of the show. I've got 10 questions and 5 songs. I'm going to ask you the 10 questions. Then I'm going to hum the 5 songs. Then I'm going to give you the answers, and then we're all going to go home. Okay? Okay. Right then. Question number 1. What is the name of the character who tried to steal Christmas in the story by Dr. Seuss? I think he did steal Christmas, actually. But then he gave it back. But anyway, who's that? You know, is just say his name. Say it out loud. Question number 2. In which pantomime does the character Buttons feature? Going to be tricky if you're not a pantomime fan. Yeah, overseas listeners, you might not know that one. I know it. So there. Right, question number 3. What was the name of the toy that Arnold Schwarzenegger was desperately trying to buy in Jingle All the Way? I can tell you it was not a rampant rabbit. If you know what a rampant rabbit is, let's just move on, actually. We're not talking about rampant rabbits. We're not talking about adult toys, okay? Not the sort of toys that you go out and buy at Christmas and you ask them to put it in a nice brown bag. None of that stuff, okay? Not that, okay? It was a child's toy. Goodness. You'd lower the tone with that sort of behaviour. Right. Question number something. Which British monarch was the first to give a royal Christmas message? Okay? Do you know who it was? I didn't. I do now. I'm looking at the answer. Question number something. I think we're up to 6, are we? Okay, question number 6. In the Czech Republic, it is considered unlucky for there to be an odd number of people sitting down for Christmas dinner. True or false? Okay. Question number... I don't know. Which royal spouse is credited with bringing the Christmas tree to Britain? Not the one that people know about these things know who it is, but the one after that, okay? The one that everyone sort of thinks did it, but it wasn't the first one. God, that's me acting like I know everything, isn't it? Yeah, because I do when I'm looking at the answers. Right, question number 7. In which country is the New Year's Eve celebrations known as Hogmanay? Hogmanay. Hogmanay. Or many hogs, which means a large collection of pigs. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that at all. Question number something. The first mince pies contained real meat. Is that true or is that false? Question number 9. Which name is the island of Kiritimati better known by? It's from the song Merry Kiritimati is the thing to say. It's not actually, it's not from that song at all. I was being silly. Question number 10. What horned character from Austrian folklore punishes children during the Christmas season who have misbehaved? That's it. That's your 10 questions. I don't know how you did there. We'll find out later. I won't find out later because, you know, you don't tell me. One person told me. Thanks for that, Benji. Right. Here come your 5 songs. First one is incredibly easy. That wasn't one of them. That was just me being hilarious. Here's the first one. Easy one. Question number 2. Okay, question number 3. Hmm,
Goodness. Question song number three. That's what we get him. Question number, song number something. Right, I'm... Okay, just bear with me on this one. I'm just going to do a snippet of it and hopefully you get it. Right, here we go. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing here. Right, last one. Oh, no, that was the last one. Thank God for that. Right, let's get in with these answers then, shall we? Look, apologies for the last song, okay? I'll apologise again when I give you the answer. Right, question number one. What's the name of the character who was successfully stole Christmas in the story by Dr. Seuss? His name was The Grinch. There we go. Question number two. In which pantomime does the character Buttons feature? Well, he is in Cinderella. If you've not seen a pantomime version of Cinderella, he's sort of like the butler that looks after the two ugly sisters, and he's in love with Cinderella, but she's only got eyes for the Prince Charming character. So, yeah, he's always like the most popular character in that panto. What was the name of the toy that Arnold Schwarzenegger was buying for his wife under brown wrapping paper in the movie Trying to Buy a Dildo for My Wife for Christmas? The answer was a rampant rabbit. No, sorry, that was I don't know how I misread that. That was a completely wrong. What was the name of the toy that Arnold Schwarzenegger was desperately trying to buy in Jingle All the Way? It wasn't a vibrator for his wife. It was a Turbo Man doll. You know the one that vibrates. It doesn't vibrate. Right. Question number four, probably. Which British monarch was the first to give a royal Christmas message? The answer is King George V. There you go. I think that was the one in the film The King's Speech, but I've been wrong before. Question number something. In the Czech Republic, it is considered unlucky for there to be an odd number of people sitting down for Christmas dinner. True or false? The answer is that's true. Now, that... You've got a situation there, haven't you? Really? It's like, right, well, look, there's five of us here. Someone's going to have to leave. I was like, well, can't we just get someone else in? Nah, we've only got five chairs. Well, they could just sort of... We could get a stall in from the other room. No, you get out is what I'm saying. Get out. Let us enjoy our Christmas dinner. Why are you ruining it for everyone else by making it unlucky? Why am I the one that's got to go? I just said you got to go. Just get out of my house. You're ruining Christmas again. You ruin it every year. I didn't ruin it last year. Last year, I was the sixth person. Do you remember? I had to come round because you were a person short. That's how the conversation goes. Every household in the Czech Republic. Right, question number something. Which royal spouse is credited with bringing the Christmas tree to Britain? That is Prince Albert. There you go. Shall I make a joke about Prince Albert being like a pierced penis? Shall I make a joke about that? No, I won't. No, that would be lower in the tone. Right, question number something. In which country is the New Year's Eve celebrations known as the Party of Many Pigs or the Many Hogs or Hogmanay? The answer is that's Scotland. Yeah, and that is a proper thing. It's not like occasionally people call it Hogmanay. It's well known as Hogmanay, yeah. Number something. The first mince pies contained real meat. True or false? The answer is true. And if you listen to the second episode of my podcast, you'd know that. Question number nine, probably. Which name is the island of Kiriti Mati better known by? That is Christmas Island. Question number 10. What horned character from Austrian folklore punishes children during the Christmas season who have misbehaved? And we all know that is Krampus. Yeah, there you go. That's your 10 questions. Right, here's your songs. You ready? First one, easy one, Jingle Bells. Second one, easy one, Please Come Home for Christmas. I say easy one. It wasn't easy, that one, was it? I hope you got it, because I did my best. Do you know that one, Please Come Home for Christmas by the Eagles? Also, Bon Jovi did a really good cover. Yep, okay, next one. All I Want for Christmas is My Tooth Front Teeth. Interesting fact, Robin has lost one of her
two front teeth, like the top ones, that I imagine it would have grown in by Christmas, but we'll find out. It's exciting times. Question number four, the song number four, that was Happy Christmas, War is Over by John Lennon. I think I did that one justice. And the last one, kids, you got to bear with me on some of these because they're not as easy as you might think. That song that I did my best with was Thank God It's Christmas for One Night. Yeah, that was Thank God It's Christmas by Queen. So there you go. That's your quiz, such as it was. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm off. Let's move on, shall we? Move on, baby. Move on. And that is it for this episode. And you're probably there thinking, hang on a minute, where's the recommendation? You've had the recommendation. It was Todd's podcast, Christmas Clatter. Go and check it out. He does some great interviews and he tells some great stories. And yeah, check out Christmas Clatter. Easy to find. Yeah, do it after you finish listening to this one. So yeah, I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. Please, 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 I beg of you, please get in touch. Please. Do you know, I've told you this before. What I do in between episodes is curl up in a ball in the corner of my living room crying until it's time to record the next episode. But occasionally, there's like a little glimmer of light when I get an email from a listener going, oh, have you covered this version of A Christmas Carol? It's really good. And I reply, yes, I have covered it. Why don't you listen to the old episodes? That's pretty much how I live my life. So, yeah, please get in contact. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Merry Christmas.
Hey, light the lamp, not the rat, light the lamp, not the rat.
My
what
apologies.
Are you doing? Put me out.
Wizard!
What? Ah! Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.